folks. The Field and Garden Podcast is honored to be partnering with the Growing for Market magazine. They have been publishing practical ideas and information for direct market flower and vegetable growers for over 31 years. All the articles are written by farmers who get their hands dirty and know what they're doing. The magazine is still on the same mission as when the Flower Farmer book author Lynn Bozinski founded this magazine back in 1992 to connect growers with the best ideas from other growers. There is dedicated flower content in every magazine, a decade's worth of back issues, and over 1,600 archived articles from writers like Aaron Benzenkang, Gretel Adams, Pamela and Frank Arnowski, and Jonathan and Megan Lease, all available on the website. With 10 new issues every year available on paper, digital, or both, you're guaranteed to find something to fine-tune your farm in Growing for Market. So if you do farmers markets, CSA, farm stands, pick your own, florist sales, or wholesaling, whether you're a commercial grower or you just want to grow like one, subscribe to Growing for Market for the nitty-gritty details of growing, marketing, and the business of local farming. And I have a special offer for you. Use the coupon code WORKSHOP to get 25% off any subscription to the original Farmer to Farmer magazine at growingformarket.com. Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Field and Garden Podcast. It is your friend Lisa Mason Ziegler, and thanks for being here today. And the topic I have today, leaves, leaves, and more leaves, is something I am so crazy about, and I cannot wait to tell you how I use them, how I don't use them, and the whole story of my use of leaves. I'm not saying it's the only way, and I'm not saying that it's the right way. I'm just saying this is how I have built my farm's soil and my weed prevention program based a lot on the use of leaves. But friends, first, if you're new here, thank you so much for checking in. If you're enjoying our podcast, if you're a regular listener, it would help me so much if you would just drop a review. The reviews basically tell the podcast apps what people like, and then they show it to people that are browsing for a new podcast to listen to. So we appreciate, and I read every one of the reviews, and I thank you for those of you that have already reviewed it. So just keep that in mind, and it just really helps a whole lot. And this podcast, as well as the Seed Talk podcast, a brand new podcast from the Gardener's Workshop, is brought to you by thegardenersworkshop.com. Friends, we love bringing so much content to you guys. We have a blog. We now have two podcasts, tons of live events each week where I take questions and answers and show demonstrations. But we also have a website that has an online garden shop as well as an online library of wonderful online courses. Whether you are a home gardener just getting started, or you want to up your game, or if you are a budding flower farmer or someone that wants to get involved as a business in the locally grown flower scene, we have courses for you. And of course, our online garden shop and our online courses are what pay for all the other stuff we love doing for you guys. So we love it when you consider us when you need tools, seeds, and supplies, or you're looking to up your education game. So I want to first tell you a little rabbit hole story about leaves, and I wrote about this in Vegetables Love Flowers. You know, when I first met Steve, has it been almost 30 years now? 30 years ago, and we were first walking his property here. He was showing me his gardens. There were these huge piles of what looked like to me back then, because, you know, I was barely a gardener at that point, right? Like these big piles of messy leaves. I mean, big piles, y'all. Like 10, 15 feet wide, you know, 5, 6 feet tall. And I just made a mental note, oh my gosh, I would love to tidy that up or get rid of that or eliminate it or whatever. Anyway, that was my first taste of what was going on here on this farm of ours that his grandpa had started decades before we were here. And one of the things that Steve's grandpa started long before anybody knew to do this, or that it was cool, or even the word compost was commonly heard and talked about, was Steve's grandpa used to collect bags of leaves and bring them home. And he didn't just dump them in his garden and incorporate them into the soil, which I'm going to talk about how that is not how I use leaves. But he built leaf mold piles. And I have a tidier way of doing that, which I'll talk about when we get to that part. But that he would then incorporate all of this leaf mold into the gardens here. And friends, that is the secret to my success, was the fact that Steve's grandpa, for decades before I got here, was feeding the soil with nature's natural nutrients, alive microorganisms. And it's just, I mean, it's just the secret. And it is so simple. And it is free, basically, right? Except for labor to do it. And I mean, I used to tell the story when I was doing, especially when I was doing lots of garden club programs. I mean, I used to travel all over the country speaking to different groups, and large garden clubs was one of them, especially state organizations. And one of the things when I was trying to emphasize to people just how significant leaves are, I would say to them that people think I am such a smart gardener, hardworking. Friends, I was such and still consider myself a novice in growing, because we'll never, ever know it all, right? But because Steve's grandpa paved the way with feeding the soil, I've just continued what he has done. And literally, I feel like I can walk out in my garden and almost hold up a seed packet and my garden will grow. And that is 100% because of the soil that I have. And that soil was made. It was not just here. The rest of that story is this place where I live, this tract of land, about 1,200 acres, no, 2,000 acres bought for $1,200 back in 1897. The previous use of this land is it was slave quarters. And what the man that was selling that land to the Mennonites that were here looking for a place to settle, one of the things he said to them, I know all this because we made plays based on this years ago about the history of the colony, is that the life had been wrung out of this land and all it would grow was corn cockles, a weed. I'm not sure if that's the right word, but anyway. And the Mennonites went to building the soil through manures and the natural things they had available. And I am a byproduct of that, the success of my farm. So I'm here to tell you, leaves are pretty dadgum important. I see cute things posted all over social media, things like, you know, people that are trying to communicate how leaving the leaves is not a problem. You know, the one that says, y'all know that when you leave leaves in your garden, you know that they don't like go in and drink all your wine. They just literally make soil. That's not quite how it's said, but it's a really cute saying, and it's just really true. We have been so pushed to be clean and not tidy and to remove the leaves off of our lawns that people just don't know how to use them. So that's what this is about today. And you do need to know that I am a bit of a tidy freak. And I mean, Chaos undermines my thought process. Being a severe dyslexic and learning disabled, chaos prevents me from being able to function very well. And so the tidiness is not just a compulsive behavior, which, you know, Bobo and I are like in the same boat on that. That's why she and I are like two peas in a pod. You know, Bobo will, you know, you set your cup down and she has it in the sink to be washed and it was half full. You know, you just went to get something else and you come back to your drink and it's already gone. That's not what drives me. What drives me is that I need a tidy, non-chaotic environment to work in. And why I'm saying that is that people, you can 100% use leaves in your garden and in your landscape and keep your place very tidy and very neat, because I'm in the middle of a 200,000 residents. I have to keep my place tidy or there could be potential problems. So this is for you that thinks you can't actually use leaves, and you can. So leaves are, I don't stockpile leaves. I want to say first, I don't want to stockpile leaves. Sorry, coffee break, y'all. I don't collect leaves in the fall and then save them to use all throughout the year for mulching. There are problems with that, and we'll see if I have time to work that in somewhere and hear in the talk. But what I have done through the years is, because I do a large fall planted garden, cool flowers, right? And we use leaves as a intricate part of that because they're readily available. You know, we build our beds. I build two kinds of beds in the fall, actually three types of beds in the fall. I build direct seeded beds, which do not have any, they're open soil. They don't have any Bio 360 on them. They're open beds, but the pathways need to be prepared for weed prevention. Then I prepare the most beds normally of, they're all raised beds. The second kind of bed that I prepare normally are beds that are covered in the Bio 360 biodegradable mulch. That looks just like plastic, but it's made out of a corn byproduct. I've used it for over a decade now. I would not be farming. I would have never farmed at the scale I scaled to for so many years had it not been for Bio 360. It is just a low labor way to prevent a lot of weed prevention steps. And when you incorporate Bio 360 with deeply mulched pathways, you really set yourself up for a minimal amount of annual weeds to develop. It doesn't, none of that really stops, you know, nut grass and Bermuda grass comes through anything. But my repetitive use of the steps that I'm sharing with you has minimized those types of weeds. And the third kind of bed that I am preparing are my very early spring planting beds. So Cool Flowers, in a nutshell, has two, the Cool Flower concept has two really great optimal windows to plant. One is in the fall for those plants that are winter hardy in your winter hardiness zone. Fall is actually about up to 6 to 8 weeks before your first fall hard frost. For me, that's like mid-November. So we're looking to plant mid-September to mid-October is my window that I try. Yes, oftentimes I'm later than that, but that's the optimal. The second window of opportunity is 6 to 8 weeks before your last spring frost. So for me, that my last spring frost is historically mid-April. So that means 6 to 8 weeks before that is like mid-February. And so we use Valentine's Day kind of in our mind is like, oh my gosh, we gotta get planting, right? Well, in mid-April, I mean, I'm in mid-February here where I am in southeastern Virginia, the ground is typically drenched from a winter of snow, ice, and rain. It can be frozen. It can be covered in snow. That is not the time to be preparing beds. So I prepare all of my very early spring planting beds, not my spring beds, my very early spring planting beds in the fall. And those beds are prepared, are definitely raised, and they're covered in Bio 360 with the black side up. All of my fall planted and very early spring beds have the black side up so that I can get that little push of benefit from the black film being on the soil just to help actually heat the soil just a little bit. And then if I use hoops and row covers along with that, I mean, it just ramps up the benefit. You're blocking the wind, you're concentrating the sunny days. I do attribute those three components, hoops, row covers, and Bio 360, to one of the biggest success stories to my cool flowers. And I say that because this particular year, we have started a no-till area on our farm. It's about a third of my planting space. Started a couple years ago. And I will tell you that I find it far easier to maintain and have success planting in Bio 360 than I do planting into mulched beds. Mulch, it's harder to keep them watered and irrigated. You have to do it much more frequently. And so I'm just saying, this year, because of just all the life that's going on here on my farm, we're under construction. I'm in the midst of a big project. Not everything happened on time, and I don't know if that helps you to know that it happens to all of his friends. So what I'm getting at is we are planting a lot of the cool flower transplants into no-till beds, which means they have mulch on them instead of Bio 360. I jump-started them 2 years ago with Bio 360 to cover the beds, to block the weed seeds from getting light. But now each year we have just been topping those beds with perhaps an inch or two of compost and or mulch, depending on what we have. And I thought that this problem would help to resolve, but I need to irrigate today. Normally in Bio 360 beds, we plant them, we hand water them to make sure everybody gets well watered, and that's it until we come to very early spring. They don't require any additional moisture because the film retains it. These no-till beds, we are having to irrigate much more frequently. Sorry about that rabbit hole. Anyhow, so I'm preparing beds for very early spring and for what's being planted here. And of those, there's really only two types of beds. The open beds that have nothing on them that I direct seed in. And I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I have about 400 feet of beds that have three rows in each bed of different direct seeded crops. So what you need to know is I launched my flower farming career with a fall planted garden back in 1998. And I was already in tune to weed prevention at that time. So I was already a little nuts about collecting bags of leaves. And, you know, y'all, you want to know what really drove me to start? I mean, besides the whole grandpa already set the example, right? He didn't really use them to mulch pathways. He used it to make leaf mold to then add to his gardens. I started mulching pathways with leaves because, A, there were leaves abounding. I live in a very mature neighborhood. And my gardens were getting so big, and weeds was my number one enemy. And I thought, you know, shoot, I'm just going to mulch the pathways. Leaves are free. The only limit is how many can I bring home physically? How much labor can I do? So I started mulching pathways. And then I was using straw to mulch transplants that I was planting because I had free source from one of our cousins. But as time went on, that became so labor intensive, I couldn't do it anymore. And that's when I learned about Bio 360. when I began using Bio360 on my beds, and I'll tell y'all, we did Bio360 film by hand for 3 years before I got the tractor that has the bed maker on it. I mean, we were making 100-foot beds. Bobo, Libby, and I made, I think usually it was 36 100-foot beds was a block of beds back then. And we would make 36 100-foot long beds for cool flowers, 36 100-foot big beds for the first warm season recipe. And so we were doing that by hand. Well, it was the pathways that were the problem, quickly became a problem that I couldn't control. And so the fall planted beds and the very early spring planted beds would be prepared with Bio360 or left with nothing on it, but all the pathways, which I made as narrow as possible for weed prevention, as narrow as could be worked in, which turned out to be about 24 inches, was mulched with bags of leaves. We would bring them home, drag the bags down each row, and dump them in. So at the end of, I'm trying to communicate to you how weed suppression and how much soil building this created. So at the end of, so let's just say this fall we had the beds, they're topped with Bio360 or they're open because they're direct seeded, but all the pathways, all the perimeter of this garden is 10 to 12 inches deep when I first made it of leaves. So we get tons of weed suppression. So let's just warp forward to next June and July. That's when cool flowers is petering out, right? And so what will happen as those beds are done, because, and this is the conventional part of my garden, those beds were, the netting is taken off, we bush hog, and then we can, my tractor is of the size that I can actually tear down a bed in between two beds that are still producing. I would till that in, the Bio360, and the irrigation is removed. The netting and the irrigation is removed. Then the crop is bush hogged. Then that 5 foot wide strip is tilled, and that incorporated everything that was there, all the plant matter, all the Bio360, and all the pathway leaves. But what you have to think about is those leaves have been pulverized by going through the winter, by us walking on them all season long, and better yet, we have been stripping flowers and dropping those strippings right there in the pathway. So we were like creating this amazing lasagna right there in the pathway, right? And then all of that is incorporated. And depending on, because everybody says, well, how quickly do you turn that into a bed? It totally depends on the state of the soil, how much debris there is. Our soil is so alive that our beds tend to break down. The soil tends to break down stuff really quickly. And then if I actually, instead of just bush hogging that bed, if I flail mow it, which a flail mower is a chopper, it chops up the debris much smaller, which means you can make a bed much quicker, but they cost a lot. So it just all depends on, if you have a small space, a flail mower should be at the top of your equipment wish list for Santa Claus. So next June and July, we mow, however we mow. We remove the netting, we remove the irrigation, we mow, we till. Then we usually let it sit for about a week. Then I will do what we normally do. Sometimes we add compost, sometimes we just add organic fertilizer. It's tilled again and we make another bed with the Bio360. Doing that for the past two decades has led to what I have today, which means soil that rarely requires irrigation unless it is really droughty. People come here not believing that until they see it and talk to the people that work for me. And then the other part of that is because the bio, and I'm sorry, y'all, Tucker is like doing a face rub and being kind of noisy. The other part of this is weed suppression. Because of that Bio 360 on beds that is helping to prevent so many weeds from growing up and making seeds, in addition to the pathways being done, our weed seed population is so suppressed. And that has been going on for so many years that it really just makes each year easier and easier. But I again want to say this only happens with my fall planted garden. We don't have leaves available in the summer, and I do other things. But this is, and then because of the way that I move the fall planted garden around my farm through a natural evolution of rotation, each area of my garden gets this like amazing meat and potato meal that comes from those leaves. Do you see what I mean? And it's, you know, there's so much more that you could do, but you're just not able to do everything you want to do. But this fits. Leaves are available. They're all around my neighborhood. They're free. This makes my fall garden really be a big part of the soil building and weed suppression. And here's the other thing, friends. The fall planted garden, once it's finished, is the most beautiful garden on our farm. Those brown leaves in the pathways of those transplants that are just growing up. So you have green beds and brown pathways. I mean, y'all, that's what it's all about for me. And walking on those pathways, crunching up the leaves is just, it's just such a great thing for me. And, you know, because leaves, friends, leaves are home base to all the beneficial insects, ground beetles, lightning bugs. I mean, there is so much information out there. If you need to know why leaves are the best ever, there is tons of information, but I got to get on to how I actually use them. So we are in the middle of the city, which is a bonus. This is how we make lemonade out of lemons. We don't even have to go a quarter mile from the farm to pick up thousands of bags of leaves. And so people say, aren't you afraid you're going to bring home pesticides? First off, you can only do as much as you can do and do the best you can. What my method of madness is, those yards that look like they probably use chemicals because they have a perfect lawn, we just don't pick up bags of leaves from there. We pick up bags of leaves from the yards that have big trees and there's lumpy, you know, roots in the yard, and you can tell that they probably don't have their yard sprayed. The little truck doesn't pull up to their house and spray it. So we usually go out with a couple of trucks. I try to have four people, including myself. And we have some yards that we now go to every year. I mean, they'll have 50, 100, 200 bags of leaves out in front of their yard. Part of the reason that you want to stick close to home is, unless you have a really great system on your truck, you know, these bags are suspected to fall off your truck. So we try to just do back roads so that we can stop and pick them up if we have to, because we try to pile them as high as we can, right? So we literally pile them in the truck, bring them home, and just throw them off. And then after we're tired of doing that, we come home and we drag out the number of bags of leaves that we think forecasted for each pathway. And I'll tell you, I mean, for a 100-foot bed, that's about 25, 30 bags of leaves. You can never have enough leaves, y'all. You can never have enough leaves. You can never have enough leaves. I mean, I have never had enough leaves in 25 years, ever. You just run out of energy, manpower, and time. So we don't chop them. We bring them home. We then pull them out into the pathways. Then the next step is we dump the bags. We use the sod cutter, which is my favorite tool for this. You'll find that on our website. It's like 10 bucks. It makes busting those bags open quick and easy. We just pop it in the bottom, rip the bag open, and dump it. We're looking for about 10 or 12 inches of leaves to go up onto the edge of, well up onto the edge of the bed to prevent, if it's a direct seeded bed, to prevent weeds from sprouting on the sides of the beds. Our beds are raised about 4 to 5 inches, and you want that side to be well covered. You're trying to block light from getting to the soil surface where the weed seeds are just waiting for light. So we do not chop the leaves up. We don't do any process at home. You walk in on the leaves during harvest, and whatever else you're doing in your beds pulverizes those leaves over time. So we do not mulch them. And you will, if you're a budding flower farmer, you're going to soon learn you do not, I don't care how big and bad your machine is, you don't have time to do that. I mean, it's just not necessary. It's one of the steps you can actually eliminate. So what type of leaves? I get this answer. I've gotten this question about 5 times this week already. I've heard that oak leaves are bad. Don't use them. Friends, that is a myth. Oak leaves are one of the best ones. People, Cornell University actually did a study of what it would take to actually alter the acidity of your soil based on using oak leaves or pine straw as mulch. And they said it would need, you would need the equivalent of like 10 feet deep of those products to actually alter the acidity of your soil. Do not be afraid of oak trees, and oak leaves are the best Mother Nature has to offer us. The only leaves that I reject, and it's not because of what they do to the soil, it's what they do to the people, is magnolia leaves. Magnolia leaves, which is a big southern tree, right? They are like little surfboards when it gets wet, and you will bust your butt on them. So we don't take bags of magnolia leaves just for that reason. And so we do have a, this is what happens to you when you've been collecting leaves with the same people for a lot of years. Rhonda and Bobo and Suzanne and I, and we've had other people coming and going through the years, but we have gotten a little crazy about leaves. There's two kinds of bags of leaves that we like. We're pulling up and it's like, yes, look at those bags. How awesome is that? Two kinds. One is if somebody did, in fact, chop up the leaves because they picked them up with a mower and put them in a bagger, so they're like confetti. Those bags, we in fact would be potential use to use as mulch in the beds because it's chopped up and it won't smother your plants. So those are awesome. Mother Nature's natural, awesome bags of leaves are willow oaks. Those are the long, skinny leaves, and they're really thin. And why you don't want to use big leaves in your bed, it's just super easy for them to like get by the wind blowing them to cover up your small transplants and suffocate them. When you have smaller, either confetti or willow oak leaves, that doesn't tend to happen. So you can actually, like we would love to use those in our direct seeded beds. Once the direct seeded transplants have gotten to like 3 to 6 inches tall, then we could just pull those bags down and just pull out handfuls and mulch between the rows to keep me from having to hoe weed any additional. And then the other question I get is, do you use grass clippings mixed into the leaves? And again, that's a real question about looking at the lawn. If it's an obvious been sprayed yard, we would not even consider those bags. But if there are bags of leaves that have a little bit of grass clippings mixed in, I do not have a problem with that. The problem with using straight grass clippings that are from non-chemical yards is they get really wet and slick. I don't have a problem with it as long as it's the right way. So here is how I use it, these leaves. In a nutshell, is we use bags of leaves as pathway mulch, occasional for bed mulch when it's as previously described, but I also want tons of bags of leaves to make leaf mold cages. And I talk about that in my book, Vegetables Love Flowers. We rarely have enough leaves now to be able to. Every year at this time, I say, we have got to get more bags of leaves so we can make leaf mold cages. Those are a replica of what Grandpa was making in those huge piles. He didn't care how it looked, so he just made these enormous piles. It's just piles of leaves, y'all. Just piled on and piled on and piled on and left until the next year. And what happens is that's what soil, this is what feeds the forest, y'all. Think of a forest floor and all the rich soil that's there and all the plants that are lush and that live off of only the rainfall. It's because they are a product of nature's leaf mold, and that's what you want to replicate. And you can learn how to make those cages in Vegetables Love Flowers. How I don't use leaves, I do not, and when people email me and say, I just did this, what do I do next? I just think, oh my goodness. I do not bring home fresh leaves and incorporate them into my soil. People do that all the time. They bring home fall leaves, they mix it into their soil and think they're going to break down over winter. Well, friends, our friends that are in the soil, the microorganisms that process all the organic matter that we add to the soil that then deliver it to our plant roots that make a garden like I have, they aren't very active in the winter either when the temperatures are low. Those leaves that you incorporate straight into your soil, not lay on top, is going to basically still be there in the fall. I mean, in spring, after you've even put them in the fall. I do not incorporate raw. I don't incorporate raw anything into my soil. It's all processed either through the composting process, which is what we do when we make compost, or we make leaf mold, which is broken down leaves, or like I'm talking about how we put leaves in our pathway that then get pulverized that are being broken down as they sit there. We then incorporate that into our soil in summer when the microorganisms are super active. But if you incorporate raw leaves into your soil in the fall, it's pretty much going to be just like that in spring, and your soil is going to be really busy working on that in spring and early summer and not taking very good care of your plants. So friends, I hope this drives you to go out and collect, save, do a rescue mission, save as many bags of leaves, because here's the bottom line. Leaves that go to the landfill in most areas, I do know of a couple of municipalities that actually bust bags of leaves open to make compost. Our particular city, who makes millions of tons of compost, only composts. Our city offers bag pickup of leaves and loose leaves. They come and suck them up. Only the loose leaves are made into compost. They don't have a way to incorporate the bagged leaves. So when we're picking up bagged leaves, we are saving them from the landfill. And I encourage you to do that. I know that people that live in rural areas don't necessarily have this as an option, but the people that live in cities where there are tons and tons and tons of leaves that are going to our landfills in bags. We don't take loose leaves from people. I've been doing this so long now, people now bring us bags of leaves, but it is still just more convenient for us to go out in the truck, not even go more than a quarter of a mile from our home, and just have a couple of days of doing nothing but collecting bags and bringing them home and dumping them in the general air, dumping the bags, not opening the bags up. We drag the bags down the pathways to where they need to be needed, so we can do it step by step. And two, if you get the bags here, it's easier for Bobo and I and whoever we have to drag them down the pathways. It's really getting them in the truck and getting them home that is really helpful to have like a field day, to have a, and that's what we are doing here this year, is we're going to have a field day and have everybody from the warehouse come. We'll all jump in trucks, go out, get leaves, bring them home, you know, then, you know, have like a special lunch after everybody is done, you know, and so that'll be a lot of fun. So friends, if you're enjoying the podcast, give us a shout out, and would love to hear from you. And head on over to thegardenersworkshop.com to learn about more of our resources. We have tons of resources over there on the Field and Garden blog and podcast. And now we have Seed Talk. And until we meet again, friends, ciao.